We're starting a new series today called Masquerade. And I kind of want to give you a heads up because I think this is going to be a bit revealing. At points, you may feel a bit exposed during this. But here's what I want you to do through this series is to begin to identify some of the masks that you wear. All right, and my hope is, and my prayer has been that through this series that we'll get enough courage to maybe take off a few masks that we all wear. You know, every Halloween, I'm not endorsing Halloween, by the way, but kids dress up, don't they? They put on masks, and they go door to door, and they trick or treat. It's a great time to stockpile the candy, and you make it till Christmas then, and so you can do it again. But anybody else do that? I remember doing that as a kid. So. But you take and wear that mask for one day. Maybe that mask gets retired to the playroom, and so now you can use it for pretend and just have fun with it. But as you get older, you kind of outgrow Halloween to some degree. And yes, there's the occasional masquerade party or costume party. And so we get the opportunity as adults to put on masks and to pretend for one evening. But the fact is, what I have come to realize, that over time, we get conditioned. We become acclimated, perhaps tricked, into wearing masks almost every single day. I mean, we put on masks to pretend we're somebody we're not. We put on masks to hide who we really are. We put on masks to hide pain in our life or hurt or shame. We put on masks to cover up sin. You know, that stuff that's ugly in our life, that stuff that we really don't want exposed, we don't want anybody to see. The fact is, we put on masks almost every single day. And sometimes, if we're honest with one another, sometimes we put the mask on and we don't take them off. And I believe if you wear the mask long enough, that it's real easy to forget what is real. And what's not, to forget who you are at some point because of wearing the masks. You know, over time, I think we get skilled with masks. In fact, we can slip them on and off real easy. And the longer you do it, the more proficient we become at this masquerade in our life. You know, somebody says, "How are you doing?" Fine. Fine, 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 fine. I'm doing fine. Because we have not learned to drop the mask. You know, there comes a point when you have to drop the mask and say, you know what, I'm struggling. I'm hurting. I'm in trouble. But instead, we do this, don't we? I'm fine. I'm fine. And we hide behind the mask. And the fact is, I have watched through the years people's lives totally unraveling. It's no secret. Everyone knows. You know, maybe marriage is falling apart or they're facing some family challenge. The kids are spinning out. The care for a parent is getting overwhelming. And so a friend will notice and they'll say something to them like, "You don't seem like you're yourself. Is everything okay?" Fine. Everything is fine. And we hide behind the mask. You know, finances spinning out. Vocationally, things are unraveling. A friend notices, you seem a bit frayed. Are things going okay? Fine. Everything is absolutely fine. In a battle with addiction, or some spiritual battle with sin. You know, things are such a wreck. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. But we consider ourselves so good at the masquerade when confronted, when someone asks, is there some way I can help with this? We go, what are you talking about? Everything's fine. It's fine. And it starts with little things. We start putting these on for the little things, don't we? The fact is, we put the mask on, and the more we do it, our ability to use this mask, it improves, doesn't it? The masquerade begins to expand. Again, it starts with the little thing. In fact, I'll bet some of you have had this experience. You may have had it this morning, getting ready for church, getting the family ready. Maybe the kids are a bit slow getting out of bed. Someone's not cooperating. Maybe it's a bad hair day, you know? Couldn't find the car keys. Maybe got stopped by a train. Maybe the drive-through at McDonald's was really, really slow. And so by the time you got to church, dad's got tennis elbow, mom's looking for the Xanax. And anybody ever have that experience? You're fighting with everybody. You're mad at each other. You pull in the parking lot. You're thinking stuff you shouldn't think. And you get out of the car, and you're walking into church, maybe stomping into church. Someone goes, hey, glad you're here today. It's a great day. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. All right, can anybody identify with that? Oh, they're masks up. What are you talking about, Pastor? I don't know what you're talking about. Friends, there are masks everywhere. And here's the deal. It is a masquerade. Our skills, I mean, we may vary. You may be better at it than me. I may be better at it than you sometimes. But when we use our masks, that may differ. But let's be honest for a moment. Just ask God to give us the strength to drop at least one mask and admit we all have masks. We all have masks. We use them to some degree in our lives. And today what I want to do is look at what I believe was the first masquerade in human history. It's the story is recorded in Genesis, the second chapter. Adam and Eve, only two people on the planet. They're a perfect couple. If you had seen them, you would have said, they're perfect. And you know what? They were perfect. They had it all. They ate the best food. They lived in the finest of accommodations. They frolicked in a perfect climate. They enjoyed an intimate relationship with one another and with God. Every day was absolute paradise for the couple, at least for a little while. If someone had been around in that day, they might have strolled through the garden and go, hey, Adam, Eve, how are things going? Fine. Things are absolutely great. It's perfect. And you know what? Their response would have been true, and it would have been accurate. You know, Genesis says, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. It's interesting. Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. They don't have any clothes. They're not ashamed of it. They're not embarrassed. There's no hiding. They're naked and it's okay. It's all right. And as I was reading this passage, I remember when I was in college, I was working midnights at the time at Kroger. And so I would get off work about 7 in the morning. I would make a blast to school. And when I would get there, I'd jump in the shower and usually was running late to class or chapel, according to what day it was. And so I remember I was in the shower and I could hear the phone out in the lobby, and it was in the main lobby of our dorm, and it just kept ringing and ringing and ringing. And whoever it was, they would hang up and then they'd call back and then let it ring and let it ring. And so I listened to that, and I was getting ready to head to my room, and I thought, you know what? Somebody needs to answer that. Maybe it's an important call. They seem pretty persistent. So I wrapped the towel around me, and I opened the door to the main lobby, and I thought, I'll just reach around the corner and grab the phone. And so as I reached to grab the phone, I about lost my towel, so I had to grab it, And at that very moment, I hear two clicks. The person on the phone hung up, and the door behind me clicked. It locked. Now, I am out in the public lobby, okay, at this point. And immediately I'm thinking, oh no, this is not good. Because one, I didn't have a key on me. No pockets. Two, I was running late, so the dorm was cleared out. I mean, even our dorm sponsors weren't there. And so I tried everything that I could think of. I mean, I knocked and knocked on the door. I pounded on the door. You know, I tried prying the door open. I tried praying the door open. Tried casting demons out of the door. You know, all kinds of things. I'm like throwing a fit at this point, thinking that's going to open it. And I'm in panic mode. So I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to do? So I kind of tiptoe across the lobby to the outside doors. And I think, okay, I'm going to look and see if I can spot somebody that could help me. And I spotted a few people, but I couldn't get their attention. And so finally I see someone coming toward the dorm. I'm thinking, oh, good, help, finally, somebody to help me out. And as that person got closer, I realized it was the dean of students. And so I'm kind of like, oh man, not the dean. And so I closed the door. I ducked down in the entrance, okay? I'm ducked down. And I'm trying to hide out because I thought, okay, at this point, I'm just going to wait till chapel's over. The guys will come back to the dorm and I'll get in and no harm, no foul. So I'm just sitting there waiting for the guys to get back. The dean, for whatever reason, I don't know if he saw me and wondered what I was up to, he opened the door, and there I am. I'm knelt down in my towel, and that's it. And he goes, Mr. Talkington. And so I start trying to explain what's happened, and he just shook his head. He never did really respond to me, just shook his head. He went over, he unlocked the door, let me back in. That day at lunch, he cruised by my table. He goes, glad to see you could dress appropriately for lunch today, you know. Friends, in the garden, before sin, there was no shame. Before sin, there was no reason to hide. There was no embarrassment. You know, the Hebrew word that's translated shame is bush. It's to be ashamed, to be disappointed, to be confused, to be separated. See, without sin, there was no shame. Without sin, there was no disappointment. There was no confusion. There was no separation. There was this absence of anything that would have separated them from God or from one another because there's no sin. There's no shame. There's no game. There's no reason to hide. Things were perfect. You didn't need masks. You didn't need to hide. You didn't need to run for cover. God told Adam and Eve, says, you know what? You can eat from any tree in the garden you want, except one. The one that's in the middle of the garden. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. So Satan, he approaches Eve in the form of a serpent. And Satan begins to question God's instructions, God's commands. Did God really say that? I think it's something that our spiritual enemy does over and over and over again in our life. Did God really mean that? I mean, isn't that a little outdated? You know, is it really going to hurt you if you step across that line? Is it a big deal, really? I mean, it's just a little piece of fruit. And so he dangles it out there. And Eve falls into temptation. She ate the fruit. She takes some to Adam. Adam eats it too. Scripture says, verse 7, says, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made a covering for themselves. sin takes place. Fear hits. Sin takes place. Shame enters the world. They panic. It kind of sets in, and they cover themselves up, and I would argue that was the first masquerade in history. And I feel ashamed. I feel unworthy. After what I've done, I can't let you see the real me. And so they covered themselves up. I think it's the first example of a sin that Jesus just despised. I think he despised it above all other sins. He hated hypocrisy, play actors. But that's exactly what they were. They were hiding. They were pretending. You know, if you read through the New Testament, Jesus is harder on hypocrites than he is anyone else. It's really quite amazing. You know, if someone's a sinner, off the chart sinner, but they're honest about who they are, what they've done, you ever notice how Jesus shows this tremendous love and grace when a person's honest? But if somebody was play acting, pretending, well, watch out. Because it's something that Jesus despised. It's interesting to look up the word hypocrite when it's translated that way in the Greek. It's the same word that's used to describe an actor. An actor in a Greek play. An actor playing a role, pretending. Adam and Eve are pretending. They set a pattern into motion in this world that we've followed. You know, where people wear masks, where people pretend, where people hide. If you knew the real me, if you knew the things that I've done, if you knew how unworthy I am, how insecure I am, you wouldn't love me. So the only place that we know to go is to hide. Hide behind masks. Friends, I believe Satan defeats a lot of people with that whole shame game. You know, our spiritual enemy is very strategic, getting people to live life hiding behind masks. You know, it typically starts when you experience something that's very painful or sinful, perhaps something that you did that was wrong or something that was done to you. And we talked about that in our series, Identity Theft. But what happens is you connect what you've done with who you are. And so you mistakenly believe the only way you can deal with this is to hide. And I think we hide all kinds of ways. I mean, some people, what they do is they just get so busy. You know, busy, busy, busy. Life's a blur. Why? Because you don't have to slow down and really connect with anyone. You don't have to let anybody really see you. And friends, it's a mask. You're just running around, hiding. It's a mask for all occasions in your life. I mean, inside, we're a mess. We're struggling. I'm fine. Even when everybody knows, we wear the mask anyway. Maybe we're trying to hide from ourselves. You know, we put on the mask so that, you know, we can just hide. Some people put the mask on. You know what they do? They run and hide physically even. You know, Adam and Eve, that's what they did. You know, Scripture says, verse 8, it says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Can you picture that? I find it a bit comical. I mean, if it hadn't been so sad, you know, Adam and Eve, they're hiding from God, the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God, the ever-present God. It's kind of like, and I've told you stories about my grandkids and I, they love to play hide and seek. And every time I play, they figure out something else to just crack me up. I mean, they're hilarious, really. The last time we played, Naya, she was curled up in the floor over in a corner. Okay, she's not behind anything. She's just out in the open. And so I walk by, and I look down at her, and I'm laughing inside. And she goes, "Papak, you can't see me." I thought, "Yeah, I can." Now, last summer, the grandkids, they got a chance to come down and just stay by themselves. So Cindy and I were the only ones there. At one point, Dason, he comes in my office. He's all dressed up in a knight's outfit. All right? So now remember, there's Cindy and I and Dason in the house. He goes, "Grandpa, I'll give you 3 guesses to figure out who I really am." And I'm thinking, well, Grandpa, that gives it away. And you're a little shorter than Cindy. But, I mean, it was just funny to me. He really thought I wouldn't figure out who he was. God's walking through the garden. Adam and Eve, they're hiding. Scripture says, verse 9, it says, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'" Did God know where they were? Absolutely. So why did God ask Adam where he was? See, I think that God wanted Adam to acknowledge where he was. And I think it's something that God asks us today, that he asks each one of us, "Where are you? Where are you?" When it comes to God. You know, where are you? It says, he answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." You know, "I was afraid because I was naked. I felt vulnerable, Lord. I realized I'm imperfect. I was afraid. I didn't feel good enough to stand before you, so I hid. I was afraid, God, after everything that I have done. God, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't love me. I was afraid." I wonder what you would say. You know, "I was afraid because of this problem in my life. You know, I was afraid because I just botched up my marriage. I'm a terrible parent. You know, I was afraid. I've got this sin and I keep battling with it and I keep losing. I was afraid and I've been trying to fill my life up with all this stuff and it's so empty. I was afraid I did this or that." In fact, you fill in the blank. I was afraid. And what? Adam and Eve are overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed with guilt and shame. And so they just hide. Friends, I think we wear masks because we're afraid. We don't want to be seen. I remember when I was first studying for ministry, I had a professor that, as I think back on it, he really encouraged all of us pastors to wear masks. I mean, he didn't call them masks, but that's what they were. You know, he would tell us often, he would say, "Never let people see who you really are. You know, don't let them see that you're a normal person." And I'm thinking, anybody that's ever met me has never thought I'm normal, but another story. But he'd go, "Don't let them see your struggles." And he would talk about protecting what he would call the pastor mystique. He would say, people say that they want a regular person as a pastor. They want a normal person. But if you give them that, they can't handle it. And that's kind of true. But what he wanted was us to present an image. He said, let them think all you do is pray and study. Don't let them see you joking around. You know, don't let them see you having fun. You know, never, he would tell us, never talk about struggles in your life or doubts. and absolutely never talk about sin or failures. Friends, I would argue he wanted us to wear a mask. You know, super Christian, got it all together. And so here's what I did early in ministry. I became pretty skilled at wearing masks, play acting. I never shared struggles or failures. And so when I was teaching or putting a message together, I didn't use very many personal examples because I didn't have very many I could share, you know, because most of them were about failing. And so I'd put on the mask, and I was always hiding. And there's a point that I thought, this just doesn't feel very authentic. God hates masks. And I was wearing it. And it was like God's Spirit just spoke to me one day and said, Damon, where are you? I don't recognize you. And friends, I realized I was hiding behind a mask of hypocrisy. And I'll be honest with you, when I first started trying to drop the mask, it was hard. I mean, first of all, the way people responded, you know, initially. I mean, people go, oh, I can't believe a man of God did that. And then people started treating me different. Some treated me better, but some treated me a lot worse. And then I realized how heavy the masks were, how burdensome these masks were, how much time I was spending crafting the mask, protecting the mask, switching the mask, wearing the mask. I mean, friends, it was hypocrisy. And some of you, play acting, man. Putting on a spiritual show. Hiding. Behind a mask. And friends, I want to tell you, God created you. God loves you. God knows you're hiding. He knows where you're hiding. God is asking you right now, where are you? Friends, drop the mask just for a moment, just for a moment. Where are you with God right now? You know, rate yourself 1 to 10. 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, that you're really close to God. Some of you might say, well, when I think about where I'm at with God, I'm like an 8 or 9. And you could say it with integrity. God's a high priority in your life. You spend time with God every day. You talk to God. You spend time praying. You spend time in God's Word on a daily basis. You know, you allow God's Holy Spirit to guide you through the day, to prompt you, opportunities, allowing God to use you. Some of you would say, you know what, I'm pretty close to God. And you'd give yourself an 8 or a 9. Some of you, you want to say a really high number, but you're in church. And you're struggling. You're going, ah, he said, be honest. And some of you, if you were honest, you kind of ignore God. And you've been doing it for a while. You know, maybe in your mind you're like, well, I'm a 3 or 4, something like that. And some of you might admit that you're just posing, acting, haven't had a conversation with God for a long time, haven't picked up your Bible in a long time. In fact, you're not even sure where your Bible is today. Some of you, your prayer time, it's minuscule. You know, you maybe once in a while pray at dinner, last Thanksgiving, whatever. Some of you, temptation and sin, it's no longer a battle. You just kind of resigned yourself to whatever it is. You have no intention of changing it. The reality, some of you are pretty far from God right now. Here's the deal. I don't care if you're a 1 or a 10. It doesn't matter. Anywhere in between. But can you be honest with God right now and say, here's where I am? See, God already knows. God already knows where you're hiding. God's big enough to handle whatever it is that made you hide in the first place. You know, just say, here's where I am, God. Here's where I am. It may mean admitting that God's not first in your life because you're overwhelmed with something that's going on in your life, or because you've got involved in so much stuff that you've just knocked God off, pushed him to the bottom of the priority list. You know, maybe it means admitting that you're living with a sin that you really don't want to deal with. You know, you're not going to deal with. For some, it may mean admitting an emotional affair or a physical affair. It may mean that there's financial abuse going on in your life. You know, envy and greed and pride. In fact, you're so into materialism, you've not put God first in your finances. You just rob God, you know, take the tithe. For some, it's gossip. Man, we disguise this one. We disguise it as prayer sometimes. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? I want you to pray for him now. For some, it may be just pure apathy. You don't care much about anything these days. Some of you grew up believing in God, and right now you're not sure. And here's what I would say to you. Tell God. Just tell God, because he can handle it. You know, God's bigger than all that stuff. Whatever it is, God already knows. You know, Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 13, says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Whatever it is, friends, I just want you to identify it. Just identify it. So what is it that caused you to lose your intimacy with God that you're acting like it's okay? Friends, it's not okay. You know, scale 1 to 10, what number are you? You know, where are you with God? Because God's asking, where are you? And here's what I want you to do. Think about what that number is. And then just tell God the number. All right? Everybody got a number? Raise your hand if you got a number. You don't have to say it out loud. All right. Here's what I want us to do. I just want you, you can just whisper it or say it to yourself. But say it to God, whatever the number is, okay? Just whisper it to God right now. Here's what I know. Some of you just came out of hiding. Some of you dropped the mask with God, and you just started a spiritual conversation with God. Some of you, you kept the mask up. You lied about where you were with God. I would argue you're still hiding from God. And I've got this theory that I think when we hide, we really want to be found. How many of you remember playing hide and seek when you were a kid? You know, you would hide so that nobody could find you. But what happened after a while if you got a really good hiding spot? You'd get panicked, wouldn't you? Because you kind of wanted to be found. And so the whole time you're hiding and nobody's finding you, you're thinking, is somebody going to see me? Somebody going to see me? Look over here. I'm over here. I'm under the deck, or I'm behind this tree, or I'm in this bush, or whatever. And so what did you do if you had a really good hiding spot? Over here. Over here. I'm going to stick it in. hand or a leg out, you know. You do all kinds of things, wouldn't you? You even jump out from behind wherever you were, whatever it took to get their attention. In hide and seek, I would argue it's fun for a while to have a good hiding space. But there comes a point where it gets old and you want to be found. And I think it's true when you're hiding from God. Whatever it is that made you hide in the first place, when you're hiding, I mean, for a while, it may be okay. It may seem okay. But I believe deep down in our hearts that we long to be known for who we really are. We long to be loved just the way we are. We love to be found. I believe Adam and Eve wanted to be found. God says, "Where are you?" And Adam answers. Adam exposed his heart at that point. Because when you're hiding, if you don't want to be found, you don't answer, do you? Adam answers. "I'm over here, God. I'm naked. I feel exposed. I feel guilty. It's not right between us, is it, God? I'm over here hiding. I'm over here." You read the rest of the story, and it's really a beautiful story because God, the creator of the universe, he makes garments for Adam and Eve. In fact, I believe it's the first story in the Bible that's pointing toward what God's going to do through Jesus Christ. Because God sacrifices an innocent animal, sheds the blood of that animal, and takes the skin from that animal and makes a garment. And he covers Adam and Eve. He covers their sin and their shame. Friends, the God that created you is asking you, "Where are you?" You know, God sent his lamb, Jesus Christ, his son, to die for you. I mean, his blood, it was shed for you and for me. Why? To cover all the sins, all that stuff that makes us hide. God's calling you. Where are you? Where are you? See, I believe we've got a choice to make in life. You can live this way with God. A lot of people do. Or you can drop the mask and live this way with God. You know, come out of hiding because of what Jesus Christ did for you. Your choice. And there's only one thing keeping you from God, and that's you. And I challenge you to just drop the mask and live openly with God. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you. God, we are people with a lot of masks. God, I just pray that maybe today's the day that we drop our mask with you. We quit pretending. We quit hiding. I mean, you see us anyway. I don't know who we think we're fooling. God, give us the courage to live openly before you. Be honest with you. God, I am totally blown away with how many times you've had grace when I didn't deserve it. When you've loved me, even when I wanted to just run and hide. You're amazing that way. And God, I pray that we would we'd just live openly before you. God, give us the courage. Give us the wisdom. Thank you for your grace. It's in Christ's holy name we pray.